Catholic girl, love the mass, I watch the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed, I really felt that I was blessed. Plus I love my uniform, so did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age, and all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo. Oh, letting go, oh God, letting go, oh God.
Hello and welcome to Free Thought Radio Hour. My name is Larry. Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5. This is an atheism call-in show, and we're talking about atheism, free thought, humanism, rational thought, and science. Conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. Despite what Steve Martin would have you think, there are a lot of atheist songs, and you'll hear some of them right here on this show, and otherwise, generally, on the station, as it's in, a lot of the atheist songs are in rotation. We'll also be talking about atheist and rationalist groups that are here in Knoxville and how you can connect with them. And did you know that there's an atheist television show as well as this radio show that broadcasts right here in Knoxville? And the television show has been on the air for 6 years. That's right. Ty, I know if you were here, you'd probably ask me about that again. But I miss you, Ty. Hope you can call in today. Today we'll be talking about how to talk with Christians. And for that, we have an author, Kevin Scott. Welcome to the show. And what would you like to say about the subject? Flesh it out a little bit for us, please.
Well, in my experience, as atheists, I've seen and personally experienced Christians who try to talk to and convert atheists. And it usually doesn't go very well. And I think most of the atheists I know have experienced that.
Yeah.
But what I have also experienced is atheists trying to convince Christians that they're being irrational or that their beliefs make no sense or whatever.
Yeah.
And I've seen that go very poorly almost every time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I would give a little bit different perspective today on what it means to, how do you talk to a Christian and not alienate them? How do you talk to a Christian in a way that treats them with the dignity and respect that every person deserves?
Sure. And we might also cover some area about how Christians can talk to atheists and not alienate them as well.
Right, right. So, so that's really what I wanted to talk about tonight.
Okay.
Do you want me to dive in?
Please do.
Okay. Well, I was just a little bit of background.
Oh, one thing. I'm sorry to interrupt you after telling you to go ahead and jump in. I haven't given a station identification, and since it's top of the hour, I guess I better do that. This is okay. WOZOLP FM 103.9 live in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is the Free Thought Radio Hour. And later on, we'll be opening the phones, but right now we're going to just discover what the topic is and cover it a little bit. Okay, go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, good. And just interrupt me, because since I called in this time rather than being in the studio, it'll be hard for me to take your hand signals from here.
Right.
So just a little bit of background about me. I was in Christian ministry for several years, a number of years. Came out of that for a number of reasons. If you want to go find an archive show, there's probably, because I've been interviewed about that, there's going to be an archive show about that someplace.
Right. Well, we've interviewed you on the show,
too. I've been on both sides.
Uh-huh.
I've been heavily involved in Christianity on every level, including writing for the largest Christian periodicals out there. And I've also now been for a number of years, about 10-11 years now, I've been an atheist. And I've observed that atheists do honestly try to talk to Christians. And Christians do honestly try to talk to atheists.
Right.
And again, like I mentioned a second ago, they almost in every case, they left the person they were talking with less likely to see any flaws in their thinking. And to the point where they alienate one another.
Right. And that's particularly devastating when the person you're talking to is a member of your own family or someone you care deeply about.
Sure, sure. And just, again, a little bit of background. Both my parents are still living and are devout Christians, raised me in the church. And occasionally I'll still get a religious card from them. But there's not any contention with us. Now, I'm not trying to say that that should be true in every case. I know many of my friends who are atheists, were disowned by their parents.
Right.
Because of that. And so I'm not trying to make the case that my experience is going to happen for everyone.
Probably
but what
not.
I would say is that there are things we can do to enable conversation and relationship that might help both sides. And
right.
that's really my point. So I got a few things that I wanted to cover about how to do that. The first of those is to treat Christians as people, not targets.
Right.
One of the things that happens to us many times is we come to a new understanding, or maybe we never had, maybe we've been atheists all our lives. I've certainly met many of those.
Mm-hmm.
But we see Christians as people to be convinced, and we see it as our responsibility to change their lives.
Yeah. Well, in defense of those atheists, we see the harm that religion does in the world, and we try to convince the believers to stop it, and the only way really that we know to do that is to convince them that what they believe in isn't true. And some of us are more zealous than others, and of course it works on the other side of the line as well.
Right, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, because that's an important point about the abuses that we've seen in religious families and in religious leadership and in religious programs. So that is certainly a concern that many atheists have.
Right.
But what I've also seen is that we often see it as our responsibility to change someone else's mind. And we really can't do that. They can change their mind, you know, given information that's accessible to them, but they're not likely to change their mind because we argued with them.
Right.
Any more than an atheist is likely to change his mind, his or her mind, if a Christian comes and argues with them.
Yeah, especially if we just rely on ad hominem attacks or something like that.
Yeah, well, and even if it's not direct, just the antagonism, I think this is true even outside of atheism. If I come to you with an agenda for you to do a particular thing that's my agenda,
right,
that's almost always not going to work out well.
I understand.
We need to treat people with respect in all ways, not just in talking about whether they're a Christian or an atheist or religion or whatever. We need to remember that people make emotional, not rational decisions, and then later they justify it with what they believe are rational reasons. Now, before you disagree with that listener or Barry or whatever, that's a pretty standard understanding of the way our personalities work. This is why cognitive dissonance, you know, does what it does. Cognitive bias does what it does.
Right.
So when we try to come and say, well, the Bible has these flaws in it. The Bible has these contradictions in it. How can you accept that it's a reliable religious text? We're not speaking to what really changes their mind. We're speaking to the justifications they have. They became a Christian for whatever reason. We became atheists for whatever reason. Now,
right.
I'm not saying that those decisions are always wrong. I'm very confident that my life is much better today than it was when I was a person of faith. However, that wasn't an easy transition for me, but it was based a great deal on people talking to me rationally. But here's the thing that they did. When I first began, I left the church not without leaving the faith. So I left the church. I stopped being a part of a church without leaving the faith. But I still was a very committed Christian. And for the Christians listening there, if you're not familiar with how that all happened, basically it kind of became impossible for me to be a part of a church during a period in my life. But I still was praying every day. I still was studying the Bible every day. I still was doing all of those things.
Sure.
That many Christians don't do, but I did, because I believed in God wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
I believed in the Christian God wholeheartedly. Well, one of the things that happened was, I was interested, I've always been interested in science, but when I was in the church, I was so busy, I didn't have a lot of time to do some of the reading that I wanted to do, and to get on some of the science forums that I wanted to be on. And what happened was, I went on to these science forums, and I was able to think somewhat rationally, but I had a very, very firm commitment to God. There was not any wavering in my faith at that point. And as I began to talk to them, and they answered my questions, and many, many of them, the vast majority of the people on these forums were atheists. They were professional scientists working in a variety of disciplines. And as I began to converse with them online, they would help me to see things that I had not seen before. But they were caring about me. They actually cared about what was going on in my life. I considered them online friends as much as you can be online friends with
right.
people
and you saw,
that you've never met in real life.
And you saw it more as help than criticism.
Go ahead.
And you saw it more as help than criticism.
Right, and I saw a relationship. I had a relationship with these people. I would ask honest questions, and they would give me honest answers, and they had the expertise to do so. And they were mainly science questions. They weren't really questions about God.
Right.
But their kindness allowed me to have the safety to ask questions on deeper and deeper levels. And they presented back to me when I would say, well, I had this experience. And this led me to this really strengthened my faith in God. They allowed me to have different perspectives on that experience that gave me pause for thought at different times.
Right.
And because I was treated with kindness and respect, I eventually got to the place where I went from being a very committed Christian to seeing some flaws in my own thinking to where I eventually, over really a long period of time, several years, eventually decided that I don't have faith anymore. I really believe the natural world is what we have. There isn't a supernatural world.
Right.
Go ahead.
You said something interesting there that you didn't have faith anymore. I know that there's some believers online are listening to us saying, yes, you do. You have all kinds of faith. You have faith that the sun's coming up tomorrow morning, faith that the brake's going to work when you press on the pedal in your car. Would you go there and address what they mean by that and what you mean?
Right. So I have faith in that sense, certainly, because I understand that those processes go on. I have faith that I'll probably wake up tomorrow morning, though that may not happen. But what I gave up faith in was anything outside of the natural world. So everything that we experience, everything that we see, is part of the natural world. Everything that we observe is part of the natural world.
Uh-huh.
In my mind, faith are those things that we can't see and we use as a reason for the things that we don't understand yet.
Right.
So with like string theory, we can't test string theory now. It's just a hypothesis that this is a possible explanation for the way that quantum mechanics works.
Mm-hmm.
We can't test that yet. And scientists will not say, this is definitely the way it is. What they tend to say is, well, this seems to explain the way the universe works on a quantum level better than any of the other proposed explanations. But until we can test it, we won't know for sure.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that because we don't understand it, that it must be magic. It must be something outside of the natural.
Yeah, it makes predictions that we can measure in the natural world. And apparently it makes better predictions than the previous theories that we've been using, mathematical
right.
models and that type of thing.
Right.
So in a way, you could consider that a test.
Right, no, we can. I mean, I probably should call it string theory because I'm not an expert on string theory by any stretch. But just the idea that there are things that we haven't figured out how to test yet.
Right.
That we need, but we think there's a natural explanation for them. If you go back thousands of years, everything was magic.
Right.
You know, everything was caused by the gods.
Especially around the time the biblical stories were coming about.
We began to understand more and more of our universe.
Right.
And when it comes to treating people, just treating Christians as people, to get back on track with that, one of the things that as atheists I have observed and experienced are kind of the people who are Christians and they have an agenda to convert you.
Right.
And they don't represent the majority of Christians. You know, we've met younger creationists who believe the universe is 6,000 years old, who reject the reality of evolution. You know, all of these things. Well, that's not the majority of Christians you're going to encounter. Those might be the ones who are most likely to come to Barley's on a Tuesday night.
Uh-huh.
But they're not necessarily the ones that are even going to church on a regular basis.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So most people accept science. Most people, you know, in the Western world today accept that we have a natural worldview that understands much about our world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's like, I mentioned Barley's. You
want to
give a plug for Barley's?
Oh, sure. The Atheist Society of Knoxville meets every Tuesday at Barley's for happy hour, pizza, beer, conversation, and camaraderie. We start around 5:30 on Tuesdays and go until whenever. Sometimes it's 8 or 9. It's right after the TV show. I might as well plug that just for a second. We have a TV show that's on Tuesday nights from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It's on Comcast TV. I'm sorry. Yes, Comcast Channel 12, Community Access TV. And you can also watch it streaming online. If you don't have Comcast, you can watch it on ctvknox.org. It's every Tuesday at 5. And after the show's over, come on down to Barley, have a brew with us, and talk, and have a good time.
Yeah, it's great. Everybody should go. Yeah, I mean, it's really an awesome time. There's usually 30, 40 people there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Even if you're not an atheist, if you're a Christian that doesn't feel the need to proselytize, don't proselytize, provoke, or punch, we'll be happy to have you with us.
And we go there to have fun.
Right.
So if you're a Christian who wants to make friends, wants to
understand
meet
the
some real atheists, because there's a lot
position.
Of anti-atheist prejudice in Tennessee and in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You want to meet some regular people who just don't have faith in God, who mm-hmm. have morals and who have all of the things that your Christian friends have except for faith. As you head on down to Barley's, you'll meet some amazingly wonderful people.
Right.
You'll
and
meet some crazy people too,
right.
but that's going to be true anywhere you go.
Anywhere.
Enough people gather, there's going to be a few of us that are crazy, and the rest
right.
of them will make up for that.
True. Not only this, but we meet, we have 25 to 35 people show up, but we have like 90 members and dues-paying members in the club and over 500 on the mailing list. So this is a lively group in Knoxville, Tennessee. So come on down.
Well, and for the atheists listening, too, you all, I do this as well. I owe, and you all owe, Larry a tremendous thank you for the work he's done over the last two decades and more building this group.
I did not pay him to say that.
what's that?
I did not pay you to say that.
No, actually, you haven't paid me yet. You told me the check was up.
Uh-huh.
I haven't gotten it yet. I went ahead and showed up for the radio show.
Uh-huh.
And No. Larry has worked really hard to build a community here, and I, for one, and I know many other people really appreciate the work that he's done for decades to create a safe space for atheists to come together and just get to know one another. I've met some amazing people.
We have built a good community.
I'm fairly new to Knoxville, and it's been a tremendous thing for me. So
thank you.
So that's a good thing. Now, in terms of treating Christians as people, I'm just going to close with this little bit on treating Christians as people. You will run into Christians who will not do anything other than argue with you. All they want to do is argue with you. First of all, that's the minority. That's not the majority. But when you run into one of those people, you have one of two choices. The choice I make is to refuse to engage. I just don't engage them. I typically say something like, you know, I'm happy to be your friend. I'm happy to go get coffee with you. But I'm not going to have coffee with you, and I can't be your friend if every time we talk, you simply want to, you know, argue with me.
Right, especially at a workplace environment. Especially if you encounter that there at work. I said, especially if you encounter that in a workplace environment.
Oh, for sure. Certainly. And that's probably against the law. They try to argue with you about religion at work. I'm not really sure. But I believe that it probably is.
Yeah.
But some atheists, and I understand this, some atheists believe that we have, as atheists, a responsibility to stand up for atheists everywhere by not tolerating this stuff. And they do believe in debating these people. That's not me, but that may be you, and that's just something you've got to work out. But understand that it's okay, in my opinion, it's okay for you to walk away from those people and not engage. It's not something that's required for you to do that because you're not going to convince them and they're not going to convince you. It's just going to create antagonism. And I'm not that kind of guy.
Right.
So the first thing is treat Christians as people, not targets. Now, Larry, you said a couple minutes ago that there are a lot of atheists today who've been abused by religion, that religion does a lot of abusive things.
Well, not only that, they don't have to be the target of religion themselves. They can just see the harm that it does in the world, like parents refusing to call medical help for their children, people refusing to educate their children outside of the Bible, thereby cutting off their education. The misogyny of religion, especially all the major religions. I could go on and on. We can make a whole show about the harm of religion.
A man this week yesterday, I guess.
Right.
And stabbed people at a shopping mall because of his religion.
Yeah.
You know, so I do understand that.
We are trying to make the world a better place by arguing, trying to show the people who do believe that some of the flaws in their belief, we're trying to eradicate some of these harms. But a lot of times, of course, it's not seen that way. It's taken personally.
And in my view, I don't disagree with that. In my view, though, whether there is a lot of abuse done in the name of various gods. Christians in the United States have a history of a number of abusive things. It's probably becoming less that way, but there's still a tremendous amount of anti-atheist prejudice.
Yeah.
We're one of the few groups that it's okay for basically every person of faith to say those people are terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, without condoning that, without condoning that Christianity and other religions have done some bad things, probably the person that you're talking to, you know, in a one-on-one situation, isn't the abusive fundamentalist. Unless he's trying to argue, if he's just arguing with you, then maybe she is. But
right.
Most of the people that you're going to run into at work, most of the people you're going to run into in your life, are going to be just regular people. They don't have that huge agenda for you. They're treating their children well. They're putting them in school. They're doing those kinds of things. They're not a part of an abusive fundamentalist group. Most people fit into that. Now, that doesn't mean they may not be prejudiced against atheists.
Well, not only that, they also have a penchant for electing evangelicals into office. Even though they themselves may not be fundamentalists, when a candidate comes out and says, "I'm a Christian," or especially a right-wing Christian, they'll go to the ballot box and throw that switch and elect him. And we're stuck with his edicts, with his work.
Right. Well, and I do think there's a need for social reform that is secular. We were established to not have an official religion. I do believe in the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Francis does work to try to point out that, you know, when a government agency, a school, whatever, does something that endorses religion, we need to be opposed to that. I think that's a civil rights issue. But when we talk to people one-on-one, most of the people we're talking to, even if they're prejudiced against atheists on an individual basis, have a lot of misconceptions about atheists on an individual basis.
Yeah.
You're probably talking to a normal person, just a regular person.
Yeah.
And,
I agree.
And we need to keep that in mind, because sometimes our anger toward the abuses, we project onto every Christian that we see.
Right.
And we have to be careful that we don't do that, because you're not going to be able to help someone think rationally about their life in any area if you project that kind of anger and animosity onto them.
I agree. Now, we're going to take it's the bottom of the hour. We probably need to take a break. Would you like to say something real quick before we go there and make your final point on this before we come back?
No, actually, that's it.
Okay.
Christians are opposed to pedophilia, patriarchy, pretty much as much as anybody else.
And like most humans, they'll respond to friendship and friendly overtures easier than they will attack.
Yeah, for sure. I've got some specific points that I was going to make in terms of how you actually get people to think more rationally. Mm-hmm. We have time to get into that, or is that?
No, let me take this break. We'll be back in about 5 or 6 minutes, and then we can go ahead and do that.
Okay, great.
Okay. This is WOZOLPFM 103.9 live in Knoxville, Tennessee, the Free Thought Radio Hour. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back for the rest of the hour, and we'll take you up to 7 at that point. Back in a minute.
Still, but he told us where we stand. And Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong.
If you live in or around the Knoxville area and are questioning your religious beliefs, or simply believe in one less God than everyone else, well, you're not alone. The Atheist Society of Knoxville is a fun and friendly group of people just like you that meets twice a week at a bar or restaurant. We meet every Tuesday night following the show at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria for happy hour. You'll find our group either inside or on the patio. Look for Richard Dawkins' silver-jacketed book, The God Delusion, standing upright on the table. But if you plan to preach, prophetize, provoke, or punch, please don't. We all question what we believe at one point in our lives. If this is the time for you, come join us for food, drink, conversation, and fun.
The Bible tells me I was made for and from man. And I must do for him everything that I can. I must surrender to his will, yeah. I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, 'cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace. The Bible tells me I must be silent, you can't hear my voice. My role has been divinely designed, and I have no other choice. I may not be a teacher of men, I must cover up my shame. These are the laws of the one who in vain I cannot name. He tells me my place with everlasting grace. And my punishment for wanting to learn. Impure, you cannot touch me, and it has nothing to do with where I've been. It is part of who I am. It is because I corrupt men. I was acting for it just by being a woman. He tells me my place with everlasting grace. Am I punishment for what? To his will, yeah, I must submit. I can't make the household decisions, cause I am unfit. It tells me my place with everlasting grace.
Talking snakes laughable? Do you prefer the scientific method over supernatural beliefs? Are you concerned about religious leaders and organizations imposing their values and rules on your body, your family, and the rest of our society? Well, take comfort in the fact that you're not alone. The Rationalists of East Tennessee meets weekly for fellowship and provides a forum for people who support skeptical thinking and rational discussion of these and other issues. To find out more information or to find out about our next meeting, visit us on the web at www.rationalist.org.
And we're back. This is WOZO Radio, WOZO LPFM 103.9, live in Knoxville, Tennessee. This is the Free Thought Radio Hour. And during the break, we got a phone call. I'm sorry. Did you say your name was Amy?
Yes.
Okay. Amy, and you're calling from out of state, I understand.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm adjusting the volumes here. And the reason you called in was what?
Well, I was listening to your show, and I happen to be a Christian woman of faith, and I am married to an atheist, a man that does not believe in God and the religion that I was taught, and we have, throughout our marriage, dealt with, you know, the differences, and my grandmother worried that I would not see him in heaven, and all of that sort of good stuff.
Sure.
And as I was listening, and I said I had one hot button thing that kept coming up from in the discussion of thinking rationally. And just as a person of faith, I understand in your context where you were going with it, but rational, it makes me feel like you're saying those of faith are irrational, and I'm just saying that I don't. It's a hot button word.
Okay. Well, what if you don't mind me asking, what does your husband say when you tell him that? Does he use the word rational like we do?
Oh no.
Why not?
Are you kidding? We've been married for 20+ years.
Okay. Well.
No, he doesn't, because we have very open. I think that on the topic that you're discussing today is so interesting to me, because it's really just talking to people.
Sure.
My husband does not have faith, and I do. We have children. We sat down and discussed. He's completely fine with me discussing my faith with our children, and I'm completely fine with him discussing his ideas and why he didn't go to church and doesn't believe with them, because people have differing opinions and thoughts and feelings on things, and that's okay. It doesn't make one of us right or one of us wrong. Our kids get to make their own decisions.
Sure. How old are your children?
I have a 23-year-old and a 16-year-old.
I'd say that they're well within the age where they can understand the different arguments that will come up during the conversation. Kenny, do you have any weigh in on this that you'd like to express?
Sure.
Kevin, I mean, sorry.
I do think that when atheists typically use the word rational, and I can see why that's a hot button for people, because the implication is Christians or people of faith are thinking irrationally. Here's what I mean by that. When I say helping Christians think more rationally about their faith, I'm not really saying Christians are never rational. What I am saying is, and we'll get into this in just a second, that many Christians, because of the way religion functions and Christianity, as I've experienced, functions, there are a lot of things that are just not ever considered. And I'm not even talking about science versus supernaturalism. I'm thinking about things like this. Several years ago, a hurricane was approaching the Gulf Coast of Florida, and a friend of mine, who's a very devout Christian, said she prayed, and the hurricane and her friends prayed, her church prayed. They put it on the prayer chain. They all prayed, and the hurricane took a turn to the north and completely missed their little town. And she was sharing with me, you know, how that was a great answer to prayer. She was so thankful to God for that. Well, the hurricane did a tremendous amount of damage to a town just north of them. And so I asked her, okay, so was that because you guys prayed and they didn't pray? That's a rational question, and she was able to address that rationally. She said, oh, yeah, I hadn't really thought of that. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when I say helping Christians think rationally about their faith. There are implications to things that we say and do that even when I was in the church, I didn't necessarily question those things. And I did get to a place where I believed that it was fine to question why God did a certain thing or why God didn't do a certain thing, because I figured it was up to God to defend himself. It didn't shake my faith if something bad happened in the world, because I figured God's God. And if you have a question for him, if you think he did something that was out of character for God, that you need to talk to him about it, because I don't have the answers either. Most Christians don't think about some of the implications of things that they believe. Doesn't mean that they're irrational people. It just means they hadn't considered some of those questions. Does that make sense, Amy?
Yeah, no, it completely makes sense, because a lot of the religion is just, it is blind faith. It is following because that's what you're taught or what you feel you should do. And I completely understand that. For me, I happen to be a Christian that I choose to be thankful instead of praying for things. So my prayers are usually prayers of thanks, because I don't spend my days asking for one thing or hoping for another, because life happens. But like I said, it was simply that. In fact, this is a great venue for this open discussion, because where you get irrational Christians, you get irrational atheists that, you know, well, you're wrong, and you're just because I believe like you do doesn't make me stupid. And just because you believe like you doesn't make you stupid. You know, that we've lost the art of discourse. We aren't able to openly discuss without, well, I'm right and you're wrong. And
right. And I do think that just like there's a variety of Christians, a variety of atheists in terms of why they become atheists. What, you know, for some people it's just a way to rebel, and they haven't really considered alternatives, because emotionally that was the choice they needed to make in order to be who they wanted to be. There are some of us who have endured a lot by giving up our faith, and it was a bigger decision for some of us. And pretty much all atheists on one level or another experience, at least in the southern United States, experience some level of discrimination because of that. And so, you know, it's one of those things that
I grew up in Georgia, so I really do. I understand that. I think for me it was it's just the word rational, where, you know, thinking rationally is not the same thing as thinking critically or logically, you know, and I think that everyone should think logically in their life and question things and stuff, but it's the rational. That was just a bit of a hot button word for me.
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that if you think logically and rationally and critically about most things in your life, you would carry those on over into your religious beliefs rather than just taking things on faith. And the reason I say that is you could pick any religion in the planet and say, I'm going to believe in this religion on faith. And it would justify you. It doesn't matter where your rational or your logic or your critical thinking came in. I'm going to accept the premises of this religion or this sect of religion on faith. And rationality goes out the window when you do that.
I definitely think for some it does, and I'd like to think I am not one of those people. I try to personally look at things, and being married to someone that doesn't have faith has probably only helped open my mind that way, because he sees things very differently, and sometimes we just have to agree to disagree.
Well, sure.
And I think that's okay too. I wouldn't necessarily believe, have the same faith that someone of a different religion would have, much less the same thinking as an atheist, that, you know, or a Muslim or a Buddhist or anybody. It's some stuff you just take on faith, you know.
Yeah, but how do you know which things to take on faith? How do you know which religion is the correct religion and then go there and take it on faith? That's what I'm saying. It all religions are equal if you can use faith to believe in them.
Right.
How do you know which one's right?
Personally, for me, I don't identify one as right and one as wrong. For me, my God, it will... Who's to say it's not all the same? And who's to say that the scientists are all the same? And
the preachers? All the preachers?
I think for me, I'll just tell you where I'm coming from, and I feel I have to answer for myself when I get to those pearly gates and nobody else, so I'm going to live the best life I can for me, because I want to stand and be able to be okay with what I did. You know?
Certainly.
So if you feel differently and have different faith, then that's completely fine, and you will answer for that to whoever you answer to, or nobody, you know.
Okay.
I have no proof that there's something afterwards. I just feel that there is.
Okay.
And
at least you're being honest about it. You know, that's a good honest answer. I don't know is a good answer. Nobody that I know of knows for sure what happens when you die, if anything. So.
Right. I just know we're all going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, and Larry actually doesn't identify with just the word atheist.
How do you mean?
You want to explain that, Larry?
Well, you mean agnostic atheist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, agnosticism is, a lot of people think agnosticism speaks to the fact that you don't know if there's a God or not. And that's true. I don't know if there's a God or not. I'm an agnostic. But I'm also an atheist, because atheism or theism speaks to whether or not I believe it, not whether I know it. So I'm an agnostic. I don't know that there's any gods or not. Atheist, I don't believe in any. See? So atheism doesn't make any positive claims about God. It gives you a knowledge position of my belief status. That's all it is. So I'm not making any claims. No atheist really makes any claims about whether or not God exists. Matter of fact, well, there may be some that are that call themselves Gnostic atheists who claim to know that there's no God, but I don't see how they can justly make that claim, because nobody can know for sure if there are gods out there or not. I mean, there may be one on the third galaxy over, you know, hiding behind the moon or the third planet on some remote star. I don't know. Or in a different cosmos altogether.
Well, I think that's, for me, that's where the faith comes in that I know what I feel I know in my heart, and but I also totally respect where you are, and you get to feel what you feel, and you get to acknowledge what you acknowledge, because no matter what either one of us argue or discuss or contemplate, we don't know.
Right. Did you have any? Go ahead, Ken. Kevin.
Well, so let me talk for a moment, about how we encourage that kind of the kind of thinking that causes people to say, "I haven't thought about that before," and that's called frame. So when the woman in Florida was saying she prayed and her church prayed and the hurricane moved, she hadn't even considered that the hurricane hit someplace else that was probably also praying. So by giving her a different frame of reference, it allowed her to see something that she wasn't seeing before. One of the frames as atheists we often deal with is the misconception that we have no morals or that we worship Satan. One experience I had was good friend of one of my good friends. I was at her house and her friend came over and was in a major crisis. And I kind of use whatever experience I have to give her kindness and compassion and help her, you know, go through that. And the next week, my friend said to her, "Well, you know, he's an atheist." And her friend was like, "Oh no, he's not an atheist." Mm-hmm. Because she couldn't believe that somebody who was kind and caring and compassionate could possibly be an atheist. Because obviously we aren't. You know, we can't be. Well, that's the prejudice out there. That's a frame where people see atheists that way. But the reality is, just like we sometimes see Christians all lumped into the same group, people see atheists all lumped into the same group. And it's not, at least in the southern U.S., it's not really a complimentary way that atheists are seen. So by being that kind person, by being a friend, by trying to develop relationships with people, we help that be the new frame. That ends up, you know, we don't have to attack them simply because they have faith. We can come to a, you know, we can come to a relationship. We can be in a relationship with people who are not atheists. So how does this work? How does framing work in practice? If you're talking to somebody who's a Christian, let's assume you're already treating them with respect. Maybe you've been friends for a long time. Maybe somebody you work with, your neighbor, your friend, whatever. You've been friends for a long time. Let me illustrate that by a story that a talk I had this last week with one of my doctor friends. She is a doctor who is a committed Christian. She's a Jehovah's Witness. And we were talking, we don't normally or very often talk about faith and God, but we happened to be talking about that last week. And I was familiar with Jehovah's Witnesses and some of the things in their history, and we got to talking about how what Jehovah's Witnesses believe and so on, and I was listening to her. And one of the things that happened in the history of the Jehovah's Witness Church was that in 1914, they believed that Jesus was going to return on a certain day, and so all of the believers sold their possessions, gave up their vocations, and just waited for Jesus to come. Well, the day came and went, and Jesus didn't show up, at least not in the way that they had anticipated. They anticipated that he was going to take them all to heaven. Well, there was a tremendous amount of backlash. There was ridicule. You know, they lost standing in their communities because they were obviously foolish. They thought Jesus was going to come back. He didn't come back. Now, they did theologically justify that after, but it doesn't change the fact that that happened. You know, that was an event that happened. And these were obviously people who were full of faith. In order for them to give up all of their worldly goods, in order for them to give up their vocation, they had to be people of faith. Well, I reframed that a little bit, and I said, okay, so let me ask you a question. If your husband said, hey, meet me at this place, I'm going to take you over here, and for whatever reason, the message was garbled, you didn't understand what he meant, you didn't understand, you know, what was going on, you thought he meant one thing, and you believed it with all your heart, but it was in reality another, and if that, you know, if that happened to you, and it was your husband, and he knew you were standing there, and he knew you were going to be made a fool of, and he didn't bother to communicate that you had made a mistake in understanding what he said, wouldn't you be angry with him? And then my follow-up to that was, well, then why didn't God tell these people who loved him, who had faith in him, that what they thought he said, he didn't really say? Now, that's reframing, okay? I'm not trying to get her to be somebody different than she is. I'm just trying to get her to think a little bit differently about a perspective that she hadn't considered on what she believes. Now, that doesn't make me right and her wrong. It just means she thought differently after that. And we talked a little bit about it after that. And she doesn't, you know, she said, I don't really know. That's a good point. You know, but it wasn't a heated conversation. It wasn't an argument. It was just some reframing. So, when you're talking to a Christian, by reflecting them back to them in non-confrontational ways, your frame, it allows them to consider other possibilities. If God has a plan for your life, how come so many Christians can't seem to figure out what that is, no matter how much they pray and seek God? Well, isn't it God's job to tell you if he has a job for you to do? Isn't it his job to say, yes, this is your job. This is why I created you. People beat themselves up over that. But wouldn't it be God's job to do that? If you got hired to do a job, but nobody told you what job to do, you showed up for the job. Isn't that something that we would expect our employer to say, oh, here's your job. Let me show you how to do it. That would be reasonable. See, that's framing. And it's important when we talk to Christians, if we don't have an agenda for them other than to be their friend, if we don't have an agenda to change their life, we can then, because of the friendship, because of the relationship, we can help them see things from a different perspective that might plant seeds that cause them to say, huh. Yeah, in some cases, they're going to go further into their faith. In some cases, they're not. But that's kind of how that works. Does that make sense, Larry?
Yeah, I agree. Non-confrontational, Socratic method type of thing that can open an awful lot of minds. The Christians would think, well, that's how I'm trying to talk to the atheist so that they can understand it. One thing, however, that Christians and other believers of all religions don't really seem to understand is that most atheists have come through religion. We understand the position. Like, how many times have you read the Bible, Kevin?
A lot, 30 plus
times. I've read a lot of it, but I've never made it through all the way one time. Amy, have you read the Bible?
Yes, sir, I have.
And when you talk to other believers who haven't read the Bible, what do you think? I mean, this is the God that gave them a book that's supposed to rule their life, and they haven't even bothered to read it. But what about it?
What all they've known their whole life. When you're born into it and you're told nothing different,
right?
I agree
with you 100%.
For instance, comparing it like to say, racism, if you don't teach your kids to dislike somebody because of the color of their skin or something, your kids won't know that.
I agree.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes faith comes just because that is all you've ever known.
Is that proper, though? Is that just? Is that good?
Well, good or bad, I don't think it's a bad thing. I think my kids benefit from getting to hear lots of different sides,
right,
and we've discussed
right.
So different religions.
So you are
and,
following in your own
and Christianity and atheism and
right.
and
no, I agree.
I think that the more knowledge you have, the better it is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself a semi-intelligent
so you,
person,
you
but it doesn't mean I.
Having
so
multiple viewpoints, good. Or being able to explain multiple viewpoints, good, to your children. But then you have many fundamentalist Christians and Islamists and Hindus that only get one perspective growing up. And that's where the problems come from. We need to open these perspectives up so that all of the perspectives, or at least many of them, are allowed into the environment of the child. They don't get cloistered off and only given one worldview from the time they're zero until whenever.
Yeah, unfortunately, I guess for me, it's just one of those things that there are so many things in this world that I would love to see different and I think would be right and just, and sometimes you just have to accept that it's not going to be that way for everybody all the time. And
mm-hmm.
I get that. Maybe that's just where I personally come from. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see everyone have open discussions, but there are some people that will never, ever have an open discussion.
Right. But it's good to speak to that. It's good to put out the word that open discussion is a good thing and that you personally support it. It's good to get opinion out there and join other voices so that we might be able to change things going forward.
Right. Like I said, it's knowledge is power. Knowledge doesn't necessarily make me change my faith because I am married to a very intelligent man who's a scientist and I understand the science behind it. But I still, in my heart of hearts, have my faith, and so I appreciate the science, but it's okay that I still have my faith, too.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Amy, for calling in. We've got about 3 minutes left. I want to give Kevin the last couple of minutes before we go to close, and remember, we're here every week, and we'd sure like to have you call back in.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amy.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. I got a message from somebody listening to the program.
Hold on.
Ty, who is on the program on a radio messaging, and instead, it's also possible to be an irrational atheist too.
Oh yeah.
And I thought that was a good thought. Somebody who's been raised an atheist and can't consider any other option simply because that's all he knows.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's probably a valid point.
Right.
My bottom line.
No, I agree.
Is simply treat people with love and respect.
Right, be excellent to each other.
It changes everything. It allows us to have dialogue like Amy was talking about, but it also allows us to not, for people to see that we're not evil people simply because we don't believe in a God.
Right.
It allows them to see that we're regular people with kids and homes and, you know, bills and, you know, morals and all of those things.
Right.
And I think that's the big message.
Right.
The big message is love people first. And then that'll do more to help them see things differently than anything else.
I couldn't agree more. Kevin, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you giving us the time. I'm getting a lot of music here. Maybe we shouldn't be coming over that much. There we go. That's better. Anyway, thank you very much, Kevin. Scott, would you like to plug your book before we go?
No.
Okay.
I actually don't have any books on religious or atheist topics. I've got one that's coming out next month. It's a fiction book, but I don't have any that particularly address religion.
Okay. Sounds real good. Well, thank you very much, and let's do it again.
Sounds good. Okay. I will.
Thank you, Kevin. Bye-bye. Okay, this has been the Free Thought Radio Hour. We're going to close out with music. I can't even tell you who it is at this point. But this is WZOLP-FM 103.9 live in Knoxville, Tennessee. This has been Doubter 5 or Larry Rhodes, Kevin Scott, and we had Amy calling in from, I think it was Iowa. Anyway, join us next week at 6 o'clock on the same channel. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.